This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us on Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. Now, I've heard of some amazing business pivots over the course of this pandemic, but my favorites have been the remarkable feel-good pivots like the story we're about to hear. On the show with me today, I'm going to be speaking to one of the guys behind Firepost Academy, a startup which has been offering futsal lessons online to kids 4 years and older. Now, Firepost Academy was founded towards the end of 2017 by futsal enthusiasts who were only introduced to the sport when they were no longer kids. But these guys recognize how beneficial it could be for kids to take up an activity like futsal early on, especially for their physical, mental, emotional, and social development. And so they created Firepost Academy to provide a safe and fun environment for children to learn the technical, tactical, and social aspects of futsal. And things were going great until, of course, COVID came to our shores. And Jeremy here is going to give us the details on that ultimate pivot that has taken Firepost Academy down a route they never expected to venture down. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Audrey. Thank you very much for having me.
So, Jeremy, I want you to take us back to the beginning. How did you and your partners decide to set up Firepost Academy? Now, what was your setup like and what kind of work were you doing back in 2018 through 2020?
Okay, so a few of us, my partners, we are futsal enthusiasts ourselves and we played the game for a long time. So we decided to go into coaching very early on. And so what we did at the start was we had physical classes throughout every weekend, so Saturdays and Sundays. And we also had a few partnerships with a few schools teaching futsal. And our classes, we have a wide range of kids. So the earliest that we've coached is actually 18 months, mm-hmm. right? So and the oldest that we've coached in the academy, it's 12 years old.
So as long as you can stand, you can play futsal.
Yes, pretty much. As long as you can stand, walk. As long as you can walk. Yeah. For the younger kids, we focus a lot on their psychomotor skills, right? So we play games with color coordination, numbers, stuff like that. But as they grow older, of course, we amp up the difficulty of the drills that they have to do. And we engage all of the skills that they need physically. But we try our best to also include mental games. So we stimulate not just the physical part of them.
So Jeremy, some of the things you would have had to invest in the beginning would be a space for your classes, maybe training kits and things like that. What other operational expenses did you have, you know, running the physical classes in the early years?
Yeah, so earlier on, the main part of it, because we currently are using a space that is already being used as a futsal court. So we rent it out from them on a monthly or annual basis. But the bigger expenses are basically scaling when it comes to our coaches. Because the big game changer for us is basically the quality of our coaches. So we don't just take anybody. We have trials for our coaches. So we invested a lot in training the coaches on how to handle kids. Because it's not just about how good they are at the sport. It's at the end of the day, how good you are with the kids. You know, so how they learn, it depends on how good the coach is. You can have the best skilled coach, but if he's not very good with kids or if she's not very good with kids, it's not going to help their progression along very much.
Right. I love the fact that you have female coaches as well. Excellent.
Oh, yes, of course. Because we have a lot of female girls as well, the younger kids. Yeah.
Great. Right. So when the pandemic hit, what was it like? How did you initially manage the closure? Because you basically couldn't run your classes, right?
Yeah, so initially when they first closed, we thought, like everyone else, it's going to be maybe a month of us not being able to run classes. So we thought, okay, let's just have a break and reset when things kick back into gear. But then it extended and extended and extended. And I think at one point they did allow sports back in.
Yeah, during the RMCO, right?
Yeah,
mid last year.
Yeah, and then we did start our classes again and we launched it pretty big because we thought, okay, this is it. It's perfect for us. But that went on for maybe less than a month. And then our cases went up again, so we had to shut down immediately. But that was a big kick to us because we invested a lot in some technology for physical classes.
What kind of technology?
So this technology basically tracks whatever our kids are doing in terms of reaction time, speed, stamina. So basically, which they are pods, right? So they are reaction time pods that we paired with the drills for futsal so that we can track their progress. Because at the end of the day, what parents want to see is whether their kid has improved from day one or not.
Yeah.
And it's very subjective for a coach to say, yeah, your kid is better than he was last month. But if you have data to back that up, then it seems like a bit more legitimate to parents that you can actually track progress so accurately.
Okay. So when did you decide to pivot online?
It was actually quite recent, actually. So the whole of last year, we thought, okay, let's try and start this. But then we couldn't really put the moving parts together. And then towards the end of last year, we figured it out to be that if we don't do this now, if we don't plan, we really won't know when we can start. So we just, I think it was in December, I got my team together and we talked and we said, like, look, I think at the end of the day, if we believe in sports so much, regardless of whether we're able to do it actually physically, if we believe in what we say, that means it doesn't matter if they can go out or not. Sports is that important. And for someone like me, for people in my team, that was actually how we felt, because it didn't matter to us whether it was online or not. We still wanted to play. We still wanted to train. And so that was how we decided to, okay, let's plan this and execute it as to the best of our ability. And so in December, we started, and I think we launched it in April this year. Yeah.
Okay. So what do these classes look like? You know, what do they entail? Are they live streamed? Are they catch-up videos that kids can watch at their leisure? Is there a syllabus to these classes?
Yeah. So interestingly enough, I'm glad you brought that point up, is that we actually do have a syllabus, right? So we actually train them from the most fundamental levels of the sport. And we have progression checks every 4 weeks. So that's just to see if they are learning well enough on our online platform. So how the setup looks like, it's basically like a Zoom call, right? Like a Google Meet, or the platform that we use is actually Google Meet. But the difference that we have with most other academies is that we only have 5 or 6 people in a class. Because if it's a virtual session, it's very hard for us to keep track, especially if the kids are 4 years old, 5 years old. Imagine having 30 people to track in just a small screen like this. We found it not feasible to do if we wanted to keep the quality that we have. So we told ourselves the max we would have for the younger ones is 5, and the max we could go for the best students would be maybe 8. So that's the range that we have in our classes currently. And so other than just the drills, so our coaches are the ones who basically are following along to our coaches. So that means it's not a video that we play that you follow along to. The coach is actually telling you exactly what to do, and he's doing it with you throughout the entire session of 45 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on the age group. So if I could compare it to something, it would be like as though a fly cycle instructor is kind of training an entire class. That's the exact same thing that we go based on. But beyond that, we also have a challenge week. We have a challenge setting that we give to kids every week for them to complete a challenge. So it guarantees that they have to do one extra piece of work rather than just they see us once a week, so that their progression can be a bit faster than they expect it to be. And then the kids send in videos to us. We actually have a grading system and we send back the grades for them to review. And then we have a constant feedback with the parents.
Okay. So what's the tech requirement for doing these classes online? Now, we've seen and heard what the fitness industry players have had to invest in to create virtual fitness classes or live stream workout sessions, right? Is the tech setup on your end as extensive?
No. So what we wanted to give to our clients and to our kids, to the parents, is that we wanted to be as easy as it is for them to join us, you know? So our main thing is that our coaches are very good. Like, I know I keep stressing on this point, but that is the truth, right? So the investment for them is actually very small. It's just a couple of pieces of equipment that we actually have in the home training kit that we send out to parents. But the setup is very simple. It's just a ball, a set of cones, agility ladder, right? So this is the initial package that they would need to get to join our classes. The reason for the cones and agility ladder is because it's paired with a lot of the drills that we are doing.
Right, and this is something that all kids get upon signing up for the online classes?
Yeah. So, and it's also color coordinated. So we want, as I mentioned at the start, like we include color games. So when we do that, it's as if like a coach is calling out a color. We want the kid on the opposite side of the screen to respond to the same colors, which is why we have the markers set in such a way.
All right. Now, it's time for us to take a quick break for some messages. But when we come back, I have so many questions for Jeremy here and how he's teaching kids as young as 18 months how to play futsal online. All this and more coming up on Open for Business. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Building Fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. Online with me right now, I have a very interesting young man, Jeremy Dave from Far Post Academy. They are a startup which has been offering futsal lessons online to kids as young as 18 months. So Jeremy, like I mentioned before the break, I have so many questions about this. And I'm just going to rattle off, okay? How do you ensure kids are following or are being supported at their own pace? You know, because some kids are super skilled, some are just getting there, some have natural talents, some, like me, are complete kakibankus, right? But how do you reach and guide them accordingly? I know there are up to 6 students per class, but, you know, how do you pay them that individual attention and engage with them?
Okay, so what we normally do is that in each class, we have 2 coaches, right? So this is, if we have 6, that's 3 to a coach. That's a pretty decent ratio online. But what we take it a step further with doing is that we have breakout rooms. So what we do is that if there is one student that is particularly in need of help, we take them out and then we do a one-on-one with that student and then we send them back to the original class. But the reason for the 2 coaches is so that the one coach can focus on the drills that he needs to do. And the second coach is basically taking notes as to what needs work, which then prepares us for the breakout rooms, which we will do towards the end of the class.
Right. Okay. And what about space restrictions at home? You know, because some of us live in boxes in the sky. How do we bring the experience of physical classes to the kids within the restrictions of their homes?
Yeah, so I live in a box in the sky as well.
Okay.
So what I have is a setup of 10 feet by 10 feet. And what I've done is that I've constructed all the drills to be able to fit in that 10 feet by 10 feet area. And from what I've seen based on what we've gotten, is that at least those who have signed up with us, is that they have at least a 10 feet by 10 feet space in their house. Even if it's on the balcony, some of them just clear their living room area a bit and then they can set it up. But yeah, there are some 1 or 2 maybe who have it a bit tighter, but still there is a way that we make room because our drills are basically catered in a way that is done within that small space.
I want to come back to engagement. You know, how do you keep kids, you know, as young as, I don't know, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, engaged throughout a remote session? I mean, these kids are already doing maybe online preschool, you know, online kindy. But is this something that you've noticed is not that difficult to keep them engaged because it involves physical activity, right? So I can see the pros and cons here.
Yeah. So one of the biggest things that when it comes to our parents and they ask us about our classes is that they're worried about screen time, which is what every parent is worried about, right? But here, what we are trying to show is that there is a difference between active and passive screen time. And just looking at the screen and like not doing anything about it, that's passive. But what we do is, like you said, you know, there's a bit of physical activity involved. You're up and about, your blood is going, your heart is pumping. So that's what we try to get them to do. But another thing that we do is that we perform activation. So no matter how good you are as a coach, there will be a time whereby you lose the kids. Right, so we constantly have activation breaks within each class. which is basically one or two games that involves nothing to do with the ball. There are some drills with the ball, but in a sense, we want them to interact with us rather than just follow along to what the coach is doing. Because if that's the case, might as well turn on a YouTube video and follow along, right? So to keep the kids engaged, what we do is that these activation breaks are for them. Okay, now you play a game with us, together with us, or against the coach at certain points. You know, so one of those drills, I can give you an example, is a reaction drill. It's called head, shoulders, knees and toes. So basically, it's touching the parts of the body that the coach calls out, and you're playing it against the coach. So what the coach does is he calls it out, and towards the end of the drill, he will shout ball, right? So they have to pick up the ball, and the last person to pick up the ball has to do a mini forfeit. So when they do this, they are in competition with their friends. At the same time, they are in competition with the coach. And then when that happens, they are a lot more, okay, I can't lose this game. You know, so that's how we try to keep them engaged throughout the entire class. Maybe one, at least one activation session, but if the kids really need it, it's two sessions right throughout the class.
You're really making me miss PE classes in school. Wow.
Are you sure?
Hey, back then, you know, PE classes were enjoyable.
That is true.
So how much would these classes cost, Jeremy?
So per session, we charge ringgit 50, right, per session. So the packages that we offer is basically a three-month package, which is, they take that, they're paying 50 a month. But some parents are not too sure until they try out. So we give them a month package. But with the month package, it's slightly higher, it's 60. So the difference is 120 between the first 1 month and the three-month package. But so far, with those who have taken the 1 month have extended to the three-month package. Yeah, that's been good.
So the take-up's been decent?
Yes, actually. We actually just hit above the target that we wanted to initially. Because, I mean, it's a very foreign concept to a lot of people, right? So we really weren't sure how it would take to parents. But the thing that helped us was our free trial sessions. So that they have nothing to pay. They just come, they show up. And if they like it, they join us. So far, the conversions from that have been amazing.
So do you know if something like this is being offered anywhere else in the world? I mean, have you guys done research to see whether there are other futsal classes being held online in any other part of the world? Because there are football programs in so many other countries, especially countries like Europe and South America, where football is a religion, right? And so
yes,
they would be doing things like this, or may have had to do things like this online. But do you know if it's being futsal classes are being offered online anywhere else?
Futsal classes, so we're specific to futsal, right? Football, I know a lot of them are doing it. But then again, it's not in the number of kids that we are doing it at. It's very big classes, you know? So it's like 30 in a class, 40 in a class, 50 in a class. So I'm not too sure when it comes to that one-on-one interaction, whether there's anyone doing it in the scale that we're doing it, how close and how small our groups are. But overseas, I'm not too sure about futsal classes. There are one or two academies that are doing it. But like I said, it's still a very big number of students per class.
Right. Now, what would you say has been the biggest challenge in running this program online?
I would say it's the tech glitches.
Tech glitches, okay.
Yeah. So, for example, if like your screen hangs, things you can't control, you know, if your mic is not working, we've done as much as we can to make sure that it doesn't happen. So we do sound checks before every class, do video checks before every class. But then for some reason, suddenly the video doesn't play or the video lags. You know, these kind of things do happen. And there's really nothing much you can do about it. But that's why we also have two coaches in the session. So that if that happens, the next person can take over until the head coach is back in play. But I would say having a setup like that with no problems is our biggest challenge. And every week we are fighting a different battle that we were in the previous week, actually.
So has this experience altered the way you view your services at Far Post Academy, your business model? As in, like, when this pandemic is over, do you think you'll have a hybrid model going on now that you've experienced what it is to do these classes virtually?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, of course, I mean, everyone who signs up with us, they want to go to our physical classes. But there is a value in what we're doing online because it gives the kids a chance to not just practice once a week, you know. So, and we understand that parents are busy and you can't send your kid every day to the training facility. work piles on and stuff like that. But with an online platform to have extra training and to get them better at certain things, this is like the hybrid model would be the best way to move forward. I think that it will be something that we will keep for long term.
What happens to the tech that you guys invested in, you know, the ones to monitor the progress of the kids?
So now we are trying to find a way to we are keeping the pods specifically for physical classes. But what we're trying to do is be able to come up with a syllabus that can track their progress online. So what we're doing is basically breaking down each drill. So what we might have to go a bit old school and use timers, this sort of thing, rather than in our head, everything is digitalized, right? So this is, we actually have one thing in the pipeline. So if that pans out, then we will have a tracking system even for online classes. But for the pods, it would have to be kept for physical classes.
So what's next for FAPOS Academy, Jeremy? You know, what's the vision? What's the end game for you guys?
So if I were to speak wimpily, it's of course to be the best academy in Malaysia. So that's what we are looking forward to get maybe 1,000 kids in. You know, this is the small goals that we have. But in the near future, what we want to do is be able to scale our business in a way that is sustainable, of course, you know, to train qualified coaches, to have X many amount of clients come in on a weekly basis. So these are our smaller goals. But our long-term goal is probably to be one of the best futsal academies, maybe not just in Malaysia, but in the world. Because I don't think there are many futsal academies out there, especially those for kids.
And what happens if this pandemic goes into extra time and penalties, Jeremy? I mean, do you have any concerns about kids out there being deprived of the kind of physical activity something like futsal could provide, or even them not looking forward to wanting to be outdoors because they've gotten so used to lockdown mode? I know I am worried about these things for my kids. Do you have any concerns about the long exposure of COVID on the younger generation?
Yeah, so a lot of them lack even social interaction skills. You know, because like some of them, maybe 6 years old, right? They just got into school and then they have no school. So the only interaction that they have is on the screen in their class. And even then, most of the time, their mics are on mute because the teacher is talking, right? So there's no interaction. So a lot of them, when you bring them out of that setting, I think it will be difficult for them to maybe like just move into that. But what we are trying to do is, I hope, is to maybe lessen the effects of that. You can't completely cut it out, but I think that this will really help slowly. But I think there is really a big effect on kids when it comes to even their want to exercise, their want to move around. I mean, they are so glued to the screen that all they want to think, never mind, it's okay. You know, I just want to watch TV.
Another reason why active screen time is so important, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. I personally really believe so.
All right. Now, for listeners out there tuning in right now, Jeremy, who are maybe keen to take you up on that free trial for these online futsal classes, is there a website that they can go to? How can they get in touch with you and the team behind FAPOS Academy?
Yeah, so you can find us on Instagram. We're at FAPOS Academy. And also, we have a website, FAPOSAcademy.com, right? So, and those of you who want my number...
Don't give your number out.
On I'm not. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That was a joke. Yeah. But yes, those are the two platforms that we have our details on. My number is there.
All right, cool. I've been speaking with Jeremy Dave from FAPOS Academy. Now, if you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website. That's bfm.my. You can also find all our podcasts on the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. I told you, right? I really love stories like this that can lift your spirit even during the pandemic. And more of these stories will be coming up on Open for Business later this week. Tune in every weekday at 10 a.m. only on Enterprise. But for now, this is Audrey Raj, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.